Well, good morning, everyone. Hope your week has been good. I've enjoyed mine. Just a couple of announcements. I found a pair of glasses out on the sidewalk. I'm not sure if these belong to anybody. They're not a prescription pair. I think they're just they're a plus 325. So, pardon me? Barb? Okay. Well, I can ask her. Sure. Okay, and then there's some missionary cards at the back for signatures or Christmas cards. So if you could take a moment and just jot a note or even your name on there, a verse if the Lord gives you something to encourage them, I appreciate that. And also just a reminder that there's new daily Baptist breads at the back. There are devotionals that started up for November. So a little update on Sister Annie. She's still in hospital. She's been moved down to a step-down unit on the sixth floor. I was up there visiting with her last night, and I'm not sure what exactly is happening, but she does have some degree of confusion right now. It could be a low hemoglobin issue with some bleeding that she might be having, or just an orientation thing. She got moved to a different room, and that seemed to kind of throw her a bit. So do be in prayer for her, and if you think to go and visit her, I really think that having more people visiting her would be beneficial for her. Right now she was in a room with four people, but now she's in a room just by herself. There is a second bed, but as of last night, there was nobody in it. And I think she does well when there's other people around her. So okay, if you could turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs chapter 18. And we're going to pick it up at verse 20, and we'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to, and we'll read verses 20 to verse 24. I'll read if you could just follow along. Proverbs 18, 20 to 24. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, we think of this passage of Scripture. Many truths in here, and Lord, I just ask for your guidance as you, Lord, as I bring forth your word, I pray that you'd help me to be an able minister of your word, and that, Lord, each one of us would have something that we can meditate on throughout the week. Be with any that are still traveling. We ask that you give them safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're picking this up in verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? And you think, how can a person be filled by their own words? One thing to mention here is that I believe that that when it speaks of the man's belly, that it's speaking figuratively here, not of our own, the stomach capacity, but that it's speaking of our spiritual belly, so to speak. And let's take a look at a few other verses before we dig into this one. So, similar verses, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 10, 20 and 21. Now, this verse here is speaking about our lips feeding others. Excuse me. There's a little frog there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Fools die for want of wisdom. Think about that, and you know, you think about that poem that speaks about water, water everywhere, but you can't drink it, you know, on the ocean. And the fools die for want of wisdom. But it's all around them. It's available to them. It's right here. God's word. And as we've said before, God's word is the most plentiful right now than it has been for any generation. When you consider its electronic formats as well as the printed page. And yet, fools die for want of wisdom. But the lips of the righteous feed many. And we read there the very first verse, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Let's be seeking to have that tongue that is as choice silver, that speaks good words, wholesome words, truthful words. You know, it is so easy in this world to adopt a pop Christianity that is based on our own ideas, but it's not based on the factual written word of God. The lips of the righteous feed many. Let our words be seasoned with Scripture. I've mentioned before how I love to hear some of the prayers of some of the godly saints that have walked with God over the years, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, and to hear their prayers, and to, you know, their prayer sometimes it's a collage of Scripture. And they're not making it up on the spot. It's just flowing out of them. The lips of the righteous feed many. Let's make sure that we are feeding people with our lips. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 12, 13 and 14. Now we see the godly man being satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Notice there, before we touch on the next verse there. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. That person says something, maybe it's a lie, whatever the case might be. That person is snared by what they say. But the just, if we're truthful, we're honest, we're upright, we're not snared. There's nothing to snare us. Then you notice verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. So again, this concept of the believer being satisfied by the fruit of their own mouth. It does seem odd, doesn't it, on the surface, to say, well, why would you be satisfied by the fruit of your mouth? Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 13, next chapter now. Verse 2, Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. So a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. So how do our words satiate our spiritual hunger? Well, we give voice. One of the things that happens is we give voice to what we know to be true. And when we give voice to what we know to be true, it reaffirms it in our own mind, in our own heart. Think of Romans 10, 9 and 10 about the confession of the mouth. And how, you know, salvation is from the belief in the heart, the confession of the mouth. So by what we say, if it's factual according to Scripture, we give voice to what we know to be true. We reiterate truths that might be difficult to understand. I can remember many times where I've been in years gone by where I was teaching EMTs and paramedics, either one-on-one in the ambulance as a preceptor or through the school that I was working with, through. And, there'd be times when I knew a principle. I could explain it. But there was maybe some aspect of that principle that I only had a head knowledge of. And as I was explaining it to the students, all of a sudden, something fit into place. Something that was kind of in the recesses of my mind, and I was able to compare one medical principle on another and go, okay, that's why this works. That's why this happens. And in a similar fashion, you think about us as believers, as when we explain Scripture, when we talk through Scripture, it helps explain it to us. I mean, how many times, I'm sure each one of you can say how you went and you were telling somebody about a problem, and you're going through the question, you're going through the information, and then you said, never mind, I figured it out. Has that happened to you before? I'm sure it has. And by speaking it, we fed ourselves, and we were able to have a deeper understanding of the principles, go beyond just a head knowledge, but actually have an understanding of it. I thought of the cow. You know, the cow has four stomachs, right? And after the cow chews the food, softens it up, swallows it. Of course, there's some degree of enzymes in the mouth there that do some preliminary work on it. And it goes into the rumen. And there's a whole host of microbes that are beneficial microbes that will start to work on that food. I read somewhere something like they can hold up to 25 gallons of food. I mean, maybe that was wrong information, but anyway, seems like a lot to me. But they chew it up. It goes into the rumen, and after it's done there for a spell, it comes back up. They regurgitate it. You've seen cows chewing their cud; they're not chewing anything, and all of a sudden, they're chewing their cud again, and so they're now going through that next stage, and they're chewing it, and then it gets swallowed and it goes to the next stomach. The omasum. From there, it does not get regurgitated. It goes on to the third and fourth stomach. Just to use that as an illustration, how the cow brings it back, chews on it, and digests it a little bit more, and then it goes back into its stomach. It gains more nutrition from it. And as a believer, as we go through the Word of God and as we speak the Word of God, it satiates our spiritual hunger. We go from past the head knowledge to an understanding of it. I was thinking of the book Pilgrim's Progress. I love that book. For those of you that have read the book, you remember that when they come across talkative, and faithful doesn't know talkative, but Christian does. And Christian kind of is on the side. He's not engaging in conversation. And Faithful's like, wow, this guy's amazing. And he goes back to Christian, and he says to him, he calls him, he says, what about this our brave companion? Because he sounded so great. And Christian says, oh, you don't know about this man. And so he tells him about talkative. And he tells him about his family. Here's part of his conversation. This man will accept any company, that is, provided he is allowed to talk. Though this man will now talk with you, yet he will just as freely talk on the ale bench in the tavern. And the more drink he consumes, the more appropriate tavern talk he brings forth. Religion has no place in his heart, or home, or manner of living. All that he stands for is based upon his tongue. To make a noise with it is of the very essence of his religion. So this talkative, when they first met, he said, I can talk about anything you want to talk about. And he was willing to discourse on spiritual things. My point is that it cannot just be a head knowledge that we discuss. When we're speaking, that head knowledge is not going to feed us. It has to be from the heart. It has to be from the Word of God. And as we digest God's Word and develop an understanding of it, we bring that forth. So to continue on in this account with Faithful. So Faithful, after he's been brought up to speed by Christian, he goes back to Talkative, and Talkative says, well, I would have thought by now we would have had some great discourse. And so then Faithful says, yeah, well, let's do that then. So Faithful says, well, if you agree, let us now have some useful discussion. And since you allowed me to nominate a question, let it be this. How does the saving grace of God show itself when it indwelleth the heart of a man? Talkative. I notice then that our talk must be about the power of things. Well, this is a very good question, and I should be more willing to reply. So do accept my brief answer as follows. First, when the saving grace of God indwells the heart, there it causes a great outcry against sin. Secondly, then Faithful says, no, hold it there for a moment. Let us consider each item one at a time. I think you should have rather said, it shows itself by inclining the soul to abhorring its own sin. Talkative. But why do you say this? What difference is there between crying out against or the abhorring of sin? Faithful, oh, a great deal. A man may cry out against sin in principle, but he cannot abhor it, except by virtue of his having a profound, godly aversion to it. I have heard many cry out against sin in the pulpit, who yet can willingly embrace it in the heart and house and daily behavior. Joseph's mistress cried out with a loud voice, as if she were godly and virtuous, but notwithstanding this, she would have agreeably committed adultery with him. Some cry out against sin, even as the mother cries out against her child in her lap, when she calls it rude and a naughty girl. Then she quickly changes her mood and passionately devotes herself to hugging and kissing it. Talkative. I now see that you're trying to be clever and catch me out. Faithful. No, not I. For I am only attempting to set things straight. But what is the second thing that you would offer as proof of the evident work of the grace in the heart? Talkative. It is a great knowledge of gospel mysteries. Notice it's all about knowledge, head knowledge. Faithful. This evidence should have been mentioned at the first, though it is false whether it be first or last. Knowledge, great knowledge, must be obtained in the mysteries of the gospel, and yet no work of grace be present in the soul. Further, even if a man may have all knowledge, yet he may be nothing. You think of 1 Corinthians 13 talks about charity. You know, if a person has charity, but has knowledge but not charity, they're nothing. Yet it may be nothing, and so consequently be no child of God. When Christ said, do you know all these things? And the disciples answered, yes. Then he added, blessed are ye if ye do them. He does not offer this blessing in the mere knowing of his commands, but in the doing of them. So just to use that as an illustration, when we're trying to feed others or our own soul, it's not just to be based on a head knowledge of something. It's supposed to be rooted right in the core of our heart on something that we know to be true and that we are following. Not like this man Talkative, who was willing to change the subject and to talk about anything. It doesn't matter. Like if he's with this person, he'll talk that way. He'll talk the alehouse talk, as he says there. Or, you know, if he's with a Christian, he'll talk the Christian talk. You know, it's not about talking Christianese, is it? It's not just about saying the right words in the right environment. Sometimes, you know, you can be around people that have certain beliefs in the Christian faith even. And you can tailor what you're saying because to them, thinking, well, you know, I don't really want to rub feathers and I'll talk this way with these folks. For instance, it might be music. You might say, oh, I know this brother, I know this sister. They hold to this style of music. So I'll talk along those lines, and that'll keep them happy. And then over here, oh, these people, they like that kind of music. Well, then I'll talk that way. No, we need to be steadfast and to be speaking of what we know to be true from Scripture. Okay, going back into our text. So we see that the man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So let's speak what we know to be true. Let's reiterate the Scripture, and not just from a head knowledge, but from the heart. Okay, next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This builds upon this same verse here. So death and life, the power of the tongue. We think about Jesus when he was talking to his disciples. He was warning them about the Pharisees in Matthew 15:14. He said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Death is in the power of the tongue. There are so many that lead people in the ways of destruction through the power of the tongue, through, you know, media, whether it be a newspaper, whether it be a book, magazine, whether it be social media. They lead people astray, blind leaders of the blind. You think also about from the perspective of how a person, a leader, can use his or her tongue to either uphold righteousness or to go against it. How a person in a position of power can hurt or heal someone with what they say, with the edicts they give. Let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. You're no doubt familiar with James chapter 3 and the admonition about the tongue and how it is set on fire of hell, and that no man can tame it. And the way we would understand that is that no man or woman can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, we gain control over that. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, we read, I was looking for a good place to jump into this passage, but we're jumping kind of in the tail end of this passage, and it's talking, if you'd back up to verse 10, it's talking about those that walk after the flesh, the lust of uncleanness. They despise government, they're presumptuous, they're self-willed, they're not evil, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So a little bit of the context of who Peter is speaking about here. So in verse 17, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." Notice verse 18. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." So these people, if they have the opportunity, will overcome someone, bring them into bondage with their words. Death is in the power of the tongue. Let's take a look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Well, read verse 9 through 11. Titus 1, 9 through 11. "Holding fast the faithful word, as thou hast been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Oh, there's so many gainsayers out there, aren't there? Now, we know that this is speaking about the pastor here specifically, some of the qualifications of the pastor. But the Lord wants us of everyone, that we hold fast that faithful word, that with sound doctrine we can exhort and convince the gainsayers, those that would bring death with the power of the tongue, try to convince them with the word. So picking up in verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Death is in the power of the tongue. And so by sound doctrine, we reprove them. We seek to convince the gainsayers. You know, a person can sometimes write them off entirely and just reprove them. But we're to exhort and to seek to convince them Yes, we seek to stop that their mouths from what they're from that false doctrine they're teaching, because we recognize the bondage, the death that they bring in their tongue. But on the flip side, we see that there's life in the power of the tongue. As our text says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And of course, as believers, that is our job, to bring life through our tongues. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. We'll be in this passage later this morning, so we aren't going to spend a great deal of time here. But just to notice here that the Lord needs workers who are willing to speak, to preach the word. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to preach the word of God, not only in the pulpits, but in the highways and byways, in our places of work, in our places of in where we shop. And we give the gospel where the Lord enables us to have opportunity. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. So not only grace to the unbeliever, where they get it, they understand salvation, and they come to the foot of the cross, but even to the believer, maybe a person who is a young believer who's struggling in their faith, or someone who's going through a trial or tribulation, someone who's looking for the Lord's wisdom in a certain area, whatever. We are all supposed to, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we're all supposed to be growing every day. And so by the words of our mouth, we can lift someone up. We can bestow life. There's the first life that comes with the spiritual birth as someone trusts Christ as their Savior. But then there's the life that comes as we live our daily life through the Word of God. Let's take a look back in our text here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That last phrase there, second half, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That correlates well with verse 20, doesn't it? That obviously, it's speaking about life here in that second half. It's not speaking about death. It's speaking about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's a positive fruit. It's a pleasant fruit. Okay. Well, I'm going to end a little early just because we're going into a totally new verse, the next verse, whoso findeth the way findeth a good thing. We'll start that one, Lord willing, next Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you can use us as, each one of us, as ministers of your word. to speak a word in due season, to lift somebody up, to encourage someone, to edify. Or we think of the passage we read about convincing the gainsayer. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to have the right spirit, the right boldness, as we seek to witness to the lost, as we seek to reprove, to make clear what your word says, Lord, to bulldoze down the straw men, the excuses that have no value, no weight. We pray that there would only be life from our lips. Lord, that we would never say things that are untrue. Lord, that we would be factual, that it would be based upon your word, the living word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go into our morning worship service, as we look at the living word of God. Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts the need to be in your word, the need to know your word, to be laying up good treasures. Lord, that so we can speak with authority, not speaking of our own self, but with the written word of God, with the authority that thus saith the Lord. Lord, help us to have confidence that this is your very word. Help us to know it. We ask that you would meet each one of our needs here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.